When Jesus shines on you, it just changes everything. And when you see Jesus shining on you as the brighter light, you get out of bed in the morning with a new joy.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's Word. In this episode, we talk about the light of Jesus. How do we have his light shine on us? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren showing us that Jesus is the brightest light. Thanks for listening.
Listen to these words in Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 3. Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus, and we're listening in on it. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, wild living. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5. So I stayed with family a week or so ago, and stayed in their home a couple nights, and they're very accommodating to me. They know that I get up early in the morning, and so they grind the coffee beans the night before and then put them in a sealed container so that they stay fresh, and then they fill up the coffee pot with water. So all I have to do when I get up early in the morning as the first one up to turn the coffee on is take those grounds, dump them into the coffee maker, press on, and we're good to go. So the first morning that I was there, I got up, I walked down the hallway, a little hard to see, but I navigated my way, and I walked into the kitchen, and it was really dark in there, just a little light coming in from the streetlights outside, and I didn't know where the grounds were, where the coffee maker was, so I needed some light. So I fumbled around, found some switches, flipped one, it didn't do anything, flipped a second one, it didn't do anything. I thought, you know, if I keep flipping these and they're not turning these lights on, one of them could be like the garage door or the garbage disposal, and I don't want to wake everyone up. So I went and I found my phone, got my phone, fumbled around on my phone, found the light on my phone, and then I was shining it in the kitchen. Well, now I can see the coffee maker, the grounds. So I get to the grounds. Okay, I found the grounds, but I need two hands to open the lid and two hands to open, and so I have to put my phone down at just the right angle so that I can still see and it's not shining in my eyes. And I finally get the grounds and I open the coffee pot and I put it the grounds in, I close the coffee maker, and then I have to press on, but I'm shining my phone light on the coffee maker, and it's kind of reflective, it's a hard cover, and so it's reflecting off it so much that I can't see where the power button is. And so I have to shine it like away at just the right angle so that I can see the power button. And then if you'd have been there, you'd have been laughing at me. You're laughing at me right now. And then I was finally able to press the power button, and praise God, we had coffee. It was all a good morning. Do you want to guess then what I did that night in preparation for the next morning? I asked my family, where is the light switch for the kitchen? Because sometimes it's just a lot more helpful to flip a switch and have a light that encompasses the entire space and not just part of the space. That is what the Bible is saying in Ephesians chapter 5 today, that God is that light. And the lesson for us to take home today is this. Sometimes we fumble around and we fiddle around with smaller lights in our lives. All the while, we're not seeing that God is the brighter light who fills the entire space. See, Ephesians 5 is saying God is that brighter light. So kids, question for you. Kids, how many of you, raise your hand if this is true for you, how many of you can look into the sky at night and point to the Big Dipper? I don't know if you've had that in school yet, or your mom and dad have taught you. Some of you can point to the Big Dipper. And then do you know the outer rim of the Big Dipper, those two stars on the outer edge, do you know what they point to? Did you know this? The North Star. All right. So let's say you don't know where to find the Big Dipper. Your mom or your dad takes you out when it's nighttime, and they point out into the sky, and all the stars are out there, and they say, hey, look at that star out there. And you look, and you see like a gazillion stars. You don't know which one they're talking about. It's hard to see which one. So kids, last question here for now. What if after school this week, someone takes you outside, points up to the sky, and says, hey, look at the sun. Would you be able to find it? Yeah, it's a big, bright light. All right, so interestingly, when I was studying for this week, I read an article entitled, The Worst Year Ever. The worst year ever, at least according to this group of historians, is 536 AD. Remember what happened in 536 AD? Not even the oldest of us might remember that. Here's what it says. In 536 AD, a foreboding cloud of black ash blocks out the sun from Europe to Asia. An outbreak of bubonic plague coincides with a piercing cold snap, killing a third to a half of the population of the Eastern Roman Empire. So this is happening for about a year. The sun is blocked out because of this volcanic ash. Crops fail, starvation, darkness, and squalor abound. Worst year ever. Now, you and I go to bed every evening in this sunless condition we call night. But we're not afraid. We don't worry about it because we know the next morning, what's going to happen? The sunless condition will be resolved and the sun will rise. But what if the sun doesn't rise? Not just the next day, but the next day too. And an entire month. And an entire year. That sunless condition would produce the worst year ever. Sickness, confusion, death. So when the Bible uses the word darkness, it's using the word darkness as a metaphor for a godless condition. And a godless condition results in spiritual confusion, spiritual sickness, spiritual lostness, even spiritual death. So that's why verses 11 and 12 here in Ephesians 5 say this: have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. An attitude, a behavior, or a choice that any of us makes that goes against God's will is something that could be described here as darkness. And not just darkness, but fruitless, meaning darkness means it's not good. Fruitless means it doesn't do any good. Right? It's a sinful attitude, behavior, or choice. As a matter of fact, here it's called shameful and attributed to people who are called, right here in the Bible, disobedient. Now, a good clue that applies to us is that we like to keep those sins a secret. The Bible uses the word secret here. Here are some things that we do to keep those acts of darkness that we choose a secret. Here's some clues that it's you or me. Switching to a different screen when someone comes in the room because we don't want them to know that we're looking at it. Or waiting until nobody is home or in the office. Deleting messages or pictures that could be incriminating. Even not just deleting them, but then going into trash or deleted items and deleting them from deleted. They have to be gone. There can be no footprint. Doing things in secret that we don't want other people to know about because it would not just embarrass us, but they would know that we're living a lie or living a pretend life. And then even convincing ourselves that we don't have to worry about any of it, that it's all okay, that's actually making it a secret to ourselves. We don't realize it. Here's what Ephesians 5 says then. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What is the Lord's will for you, for your life? What's the Lord's will? What's the Lord's will for all the football games that were played yesterday? What's the Lord's will for the hurricane bearing down in Florida? What's the Lord's will? We tend to bring that up when we ask questions like, which company should I hire to clean my carpets? How much debt is the right amount of debt for me or for my family or for my business to go into? And how much is too much and how much is the right amount? What about my family? Who should I marry? God, what's your will for who I marry? What's your will for how soon we get married? What's your will for how many kids that we have? What's your will for whether I should stay married? See, we ask questions like that when it comes to God's will. All of those questions apply to what scholars, theologians call the hidden will of God. There's two types of will of God when we study this. There's the revealed will of God, and there's the hidden will of God. The reasons it's hidden are two. Number one, it's hidden because it's not clearly revealed in print, in writing, in this document that we call the Bible. All right, so the Bible, that's God's revealed will. It's not in there. How many kids should I have? What team should I cheer for? When should I get married? What company should I hire? God doesn't write that. It's not in the Bible, so it's his hidden will. And as often, or almost all the time, here's the other reason it's God's hidden will. God doesn't have a preference. God, should I be a Longhorn or an Aggie? I saw that. He doesn't have a preference. Either is fine. He wants you to make a good choice. A choice that's based on his revealed will, so it doesn't put you into any kind of place of sin or unrighteousness or lying. As long as you know that, he didn't script from eternity which school your kids should attend. It's not his preference. So, here's what happens. Here's what I find. People tend to spend way too much time trying to find out what the hidden will of God is, to the point that it distracts them from the revealed will of God, which is even more important. So right here in this section, Ephesians 5, it says, find out what pleases the Lord. Understand what the Lord's will is. And then guess what it does? It tells us exactly what the Lord's will is. This is the revealed will of God. So don't be foolish. Don't be unwise. It gives us attitudes and behaviors and choices that are improper and out of place. This is very clear. God, what's your will for sexual immorality? No. That's very clear and obvious. God, should I be a greedy person? No, you should not. That's what's God's will about that? God makes it clear, and that's very good. We don't have to be confused about what God wants, his revealed will is. So let's be careful about making God's hidden will more important than God's revealed will. It's actually the other way around. God's revealed will in your life, what he says in the Bible, his promises and his guidance, his truth, is that God's revealed will for you is more important than his hidden will about whether you spend money on a boat or invest it in retirement. So, when we're all eager to find God's hidden will, and it distracts us from his revealed will, which is very clear, that, my friends, is foolishness and darkness. Understand what the Lord's will is. Find what pleases the Lord. We can do that very simply. The Bible answers that question. All right, I'm going to present now the solution to that in this way. So, kids, here's my second question for you. Here's the second set. Kids, you're back at school, right? How many of you have a new teacher this year? Raise your hand. New teacher in school, all right? Is that teacher different than last year's teacher? Different age, looks different, male or female, teaches differently? Raise your hand if the teacher is different. Yeah, this teacher is different, okay. So even adults, we've experienced this. We think back on our school days, having new teachers every year, or maybe as kids, a new coach, a new language tutor, a new karate instructor, a new music teacher. And what happens? Oftentimes, that new teacher can draw us in and can engage us in a better way than the old teacher. It doesn't make them bad, but the new one does it in a better way. Think of moms and dads, think of working like for a new boss or a new supervisor. And your previous boss or supervisor wasn't the best. You didn't wake up in the morning going, boy, I can't wait to go to work, this is great. And you weren't really connecting with the team around you. And then a new boss or a new division that you work for, a new supervisor, changed the whole game. Or your kids have a new coach. And all of a sudden, you're getting up in the morning and you're eager to go to work because of this new boss, this new supervisor. They've created this environment around you that's much more positive. There's the team is all on the same page and the same focus and same direction. And why? Because the new boss, the new coach, the new teacher, you haven't changed. They might even be more demanding, but they're more engaging and they change how you see it. That is God in what it takes to find his will and do his will. When you know God, the way that he reveals himself in the Bible, you're going to see that there's this new environment, and in this environment of his light, you might even, as you get to know God, discover how demanding he really is. But it's not as burdensome as it was before because you see how God has changed the environment with his light. All right, that's what we have here. That's why the Bible says in verse 8, live as children of the light, and it calls us God's holy people. That's the new environment. So the entire environment has changed, by God's brighter light that shines. That's like me flipping on the switch the next morning and making coffee. The whole environment, I'm not tiptoeing around, I'm not wondering which switch is which, because the entire environment has changed. God has changed your entire space, your entire environment, by being your light in the world and in your life too. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." That's Ephesians 5, verse 14. God's brighter light is Jesus Christ himself, who says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 8, verse 12. When Jesus shines on you, it just changes everything. And when you see Jesus shining on you as the brighter light, you get out of bed in the morning with a new joy. You have a desire to do God's will. You read verses like this that say, don't do what perhaps you or me, what we like to do, and we nod our heads and we say, yeah, I like what I hear. Because it's from God, it's from Jesus, and he changes the whole scene, gives a new life and a new perspective. That is the most important thing to realize when it comes to God's will. More important than studying the particular aspects of what God wants, more important than searching for God's hidden will, is having the new coach, the new boss, the new supervisor. That's God. He changes the scene. We were talking about those 3 hours of darkness when Jesus died. It says in Luke 23, verse 45, the sun stopped shining. So if 536 AD was the worst year because the sun stopped shining, this three-hour period, you might say, made that year that Jesus died the best year. The best year ever. Because, remember, darkness is a metaphor for godlessness and evil, unrighteousness and sin. And so what was happening while Jesus was suffering on the cross, those 3 hours of darkness, what was happening? Jesus was experiencing your darkness. Every time you've reached into that pot of evil and taken from it, like Adam and Eve took the fruit, every time you've tried to hide something from God, every secret, every evil deed, every evil attitude, behavior, and choice was there in the darkness, and Jesus experienced it. God cursed his own son with your darkness so that you're not cursed with it at all, ever. It's gone. And then Jesus not only suffered on that day, but 3 days later, the light shone and he rose from the dead on this Easter morning and he gave you a new life. And he guaranteed that light surrounds you as your new environment, new space. After he rose from the dead, he then sent his disciples to tell the world, to tell the Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And off they went, and eventually the Apostle Paul's writing a letter to the church in Ephesus. Can you see the light? And can you be the light? That's what Ephesians 5 wants you to think this morning. Talked to one of my good friends on the phone this week. Christian man, wears his faith on his sleeve. Much better than I do. He just inspires me with how his faith shines in every conversation, every moment. And I just love this guy. He's a member of a Christian church, and he loves his church. He's one of those people as a Christian that has his own business card, and it's not for any organization. It's just him, and he hands out his own personal business card to people, and has a cross on it and Jesus on it, and his email address is something like you are the number 4 given .com, and he's just always wearing his faith. As a matter of fact, he's doing so much with his faith that he studied to become an institutional chaplain, and he visits patients in the local hospitals to share Jesus with them, to let his light shine. And so we were talking last week. He said, yeah, I'm going to be sharing some words at a funeral coming up to a man that I visited in the hospital who was not a believer. And I was able to share the gospel with him, and he came to faith in his dying days. And so now I get to talk at his funeral and talk to his family, who, by the way, are, as from what I know, he said, unbelievers too. And I can't wait to tell them how if he can be saved, anyone can be saved. And he preached the gospel at this funeral, and people came up to him after he shared, after he was being this light. And they said, can we hear more? One family member came up to him and said, can you baptize me? Can I come to your church and hear more about this? There's something about you. There's something that you're telling us, and you're just different. There's something about your demeanor, about your behavior, about your words. He was being a light. He was being the moon as God, like the sun, shines on him, and he was reflecting it to others. Can you do that? Yes, you can. It says here in verses 18 to 20, Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another, with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. You are filled with the Spirit when you are just standing in this encompassing light of his love and of his Son Jesus Christ that God sends. You are filled with the Spirit so much that here in Ephesians 5, God's word calls you God's holy people. So what do you do as someone who's filled with the Spirit? You speak, and your words change people's lives. That word speak there in the Greek actually means make a noise. It doesn't mean carry on a conversation. It doesn't mean have an intelligent discussion. It means blah, 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 blah. It just means make noise. So whether you want to call what you do singing or what you do making noise, either way, in church on Sundays when you sing, that's a speaking. You're being a light. You're shining on others. And you're changing their lives with these words that are powerful, coming from you as God's moon. When you share a scripture verse with someone who's struggling, looking for God's direction, troubled or hurt, you're being a light. When you teach your kids to pray, to read the Bible, to come to church, you're being a light. You're using words that God has given, and you're being a moon like God shines on you. So I have this light in my garage at my home, and there's a light sensor on it I attached so that when you walk in my garage, which, by the way, has three steps down, and I attach a sensor to the light so that when I open the door into the dark garage, the light turns on. Usually I'm carrying things, or I don't have to turn on the light, step down the steps. It must have shifted, or it's dusty or something, because that light that doesn't come on now when you open the door. But it does come on, though, if you walk down the steps, jumping up and down, waving your arms. Then the light sensor comes on. That's dangerous. I've been injured. I need to fix that. You don't need to activate a sensor of some kind for God's light to shine on you. Today, Ephesians 5 is saying that God's wonderful, beautiful, shining light, as he sends his own Son, Jesus Christ, who forgives you, as he sends the Spirit who fills you. There's nothing required where you have to jump up and down or wave your arms or meet. God, out of his grace and mercy, sends this, and he changes your whole environment, changes your whole space. He allows you to see his will, and he's the Son. And you're the moon, and reflect his light so that you change the lives of others. Can you see the light? Can you be the light? Yes and yes. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.